makes music.
Yo, what is up? What is up? How's it going? This is Blake from Blake Makes Music. Thank you so much for joining. We've got a couple people already viewing. What's up, everybody? Thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it. So real quick, we're going to be talking about how to effectively submit your music to playlists on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, things like that. I think it's super important, so we're going to dive into that. And I would like to know what you're working on. So tell me what you're working on in the chat. Let me know. It'll appear over there. Let me know what you're working on. And if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and comment. Tell me about the projects that you're working on, released or unreleased. Or if you're just writing it or brainstorming, I'd love to hear about it. I'm sure we all would. And go ahead. And if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you. If you're not watching this on YouTube, if you wouldn't mind going to YouTube, youtube.com/BlakeMakesMusic. We got the custom URL finally, thanks to all the lovely people. Thank you so much. And if you wouldn't mind subscribing and ringing the notification bell, I'd really appreciate it. And if you thumbs up this video and comment, it really helps with the YouTube algorithm. We'll get a couple extra viewers. We just went over 139 subscribers. We're almost to 140, and my next goal is 200. So this podcast has been around just for a few months. It's kind of new, and so the fact that we're able to get over 100 that quickly is pretty amazing. So we're doing this from scratch, which is really cool. So let me go ahead and explain the show just for a second. For those of you who don't know, this may be your first time watching or listening to this. This is a live stream podcast. So what's cool is if you're watching this, I do this every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central. You can go to blakemakesmusic.com or my YouTube channel or any of those links that I've got. And you can actually interact with me on the show. And so you could chat, you can ask questions, we can have a dialogue. So if you're you know, stumped on something or you miss something or something's not making sense during the subject matter that we're talking about, so today's playlisting, you can actually chat and ask me questions as it's happening. And it's kind of cool. You could be on the podcast. This gets sent out to all podcast platforms, all video platforms, all that kind of stuff. So your questions and stuff could be in the ethos of the internet, which is pretty amazing. So real quick, I want to give a quick shout out. We're going to do some housekeeping stuff, but the really important stuff. I want to give a shout out to my patrons, Josh and Maurice. Thank you so much. Their Instagram links are in the video description or the podcast description. Go ahead and give them a follow. They're amazing, amazing people. They both make music and they both make really cool music. I just released something really cool on the Patreon. So Josh and Maurice get this first. This is 100 TikTok ideas for musicians. So I released last week, I put on the Patreon 100 content ideas. So things outside of your music that you could do on things like YouTube and Instagram, things like that. So this one's specifically for TikTok or, you know, reels or, you know, shorts on YouTube, things like that. Short 60-second content kind of things, which is really a great way to grow your brand. Short form content's amazing. It's really easy to market. It's great. You can get a lot more viewers that way if you know what you're doing. And that's why I'm here, is to help you. So we're only 598 patrons away from me doing something crazy. I'll probably live stream it when it happens. And then I'm going to do a giveaway at 100 Patreon subscribers, because I appreciate everybody. Every time we hit a benchmark on Patreon, I will be doing a giveaway. It won't be something stupid, I promise. It's going to be something that all of you people would be able to use, some piece of gear, something like that. I'll spin a wheel and we'll do a giveaway. It'd be pretty neat. And last but not least, housekeeping. If you have not done so, ladies and gentlemen, the book, The Modern Artist and Songwriter Journal and Toolkit. So this is my book. You can get it for free if you want the digital version at musicadvice.io. There's a link there. You can sign up and you can get that book for free. It is 98 pages of music content strategy, and it is the strategy that I use. It's got tons of cool stuff. So it's not just informational like this stuff, which is great, like this right here. Boom, boom, boom. But it's also got little worksheets and things like that, how to identify your style, your branding, all kinds of stuff. You cut it out, you put it on the wall, content calendars. I mean, literally everything you need to get your career together, it's in the book. Now, if you do want to purchase it, it is on Amazon if you want something physical. It does take a little bit of time to ship. So if you order it and you haven't gotten it yet, it's print on demand. So it's $20. But if you want those worksheets, you can also print them. I have them available on my Patreon. So we're going to talk about today something super important. We're going to talk about how to effectively submit your music to playlists in a really, really productive way, because it takes time and effort, and time is money, and it's really important that it gets done though. So we're going to talk about that. I'm really excited. It's something I really believe in, and I've used myself, and I've gotten some great results. But before we do that, we need to go ahead and run an ad, and we'll be back in 30 seconds. This podcast is brought to you by Printful. Printful is the best place to design and sell your own merch to your fan base. Take your music branding up a notch and give your fan base something to wear that represents you and your music. It's easy, it's fast, it's free. Print on demand means you don't carry any inventory or need to worry about shipping to your fan base. Printful takes care of all of that stuff for you. It also integrates nicely into your Bandzoogle powered website so you can have all of your merch in one easy place. Check out Printful by going to musicadvice.io for more information. Okay, cool. Hey, if you can't tell, that is my voice. I do all of my own commercials. Thank you so much. So I think those are better than running ads for, you know, other people doing them. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, musicadvice.io, it's got all kinds of goodies there, all of my affiliate links. So these are the things that I recommend musicians take advantage of. Some are free, some are paid for. But there are things that I personally use in my career, and it helps out the show. So you sometimes will get a discount depending on the company that you're clicking through. And then it just gives the show a little bit of a kickback, which is always appreciative. If you don't want to use the links, it's okay. But I just want you all to be successful with your music career. So you'll have to excuse me. I'm a little low energy today. I usually drink an absurd amount of coffee, like an absurd amount, and it's unhealthy, and I probably shouldn't drink as much, and so I've got a little bit of a caffeine withdrawal, and I'm going to try to knock down the caffeine intake just a little bit, but, you know, you do what you can do kind of thing, and if I could do this podcast as much as I can and get over these humps, you can always make music every day, which is super important. That's kind of like the motto of the show. So today we're going to talk about how to submit your music effectively to playlists, why, all the psychology behind it, which is really important. And as always, if you're in the chat and you want to participate in the conversation, please feel free to do so. And if a lot more people watch this after the fact and listen to this after the fact, which is also very appreciative. If that is you, go ahead. I respond to all comments. So if you're on YouTube or Facebook, what have you, want to talk about this after the fact, not everybody is available at this time, which is totally understandable, then go ahead and write in the comments. I would love to have a conversation. So let's talk about why you would want to submit to playlists. And there's different kinds, all that kind of stuff. So playlists, if you don't know, are basically the new version of radio stations. It's the number one way people discover music. And as someone who is an independent artist, the most important thing that you can do is find your newest fans. Duh. I'm not saying anything, I'm not saying anything that shouldn't be obvious, right? But I want to set the... I want to set the table here for a second, because I think it's important when you go into the how, and I'm probably going to do some screen shares and stuff. So if you're listening to this, I'm going to try to talk my way through it. But if you want to do a quick rewatch, feel free to do so. But playlisting is super important. It's something that you have to do. You really have to do it. And not a lot of people are very good at it, unfortunately. and they don't really understand what it is. It takes a lot of work. And so that's why I really adamantly say to set a schedule, and that's part of the things we're going to talk about today, because you should make music every day. That's great. If you have a full-time job and stuff, I know it's really hard, but you should at least have a content schedule. So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend like people have time set aside, and if you don't have time set aside, you're going to see why it's really important that you do have time set aside to do all of the admin stuff for your music and why it's super important. So it's essential to your music career, because if you want to, you want to think about how you specifically listen to music and then how you find new music. So I was saying that playlisting is the number one way people discover music. Another one is YouTube and then social media. Those are also really great things. But the main way people listen to music now is on streaming services, is well over 70% now. It's like not even close. The pandemic really accelerated a lot of the new changes in the music industry. I think it knocked off maybe 5 years of natural growth. The pandemic happened. Everybody's at home using stuff online. All of these different platforms, they had skyrocket user base, you know? So even people who are a little bit older, you know, baby boomers, Gen Xers, things like that, people who are typically not going to listen to streaming services, or they may use things like older first gen sort of streaming, like radio, like Pandora, they're moving over to things like Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all that kind of stuff, which is really important. So the other thing is like, you have to remove yourself a little bit out of how you think the music industry should be for a second. I know I talk about that a lot, but you know, just because tools are available to you and a lot of people use them doesn't mean that that is the tool you should also be using. You have to think critically and think about why those tools are there and what the best, you know, how to maximize your effort to get the best return on your results. For example, I have a video out already talking about this. It was the first unofficial podcast episode, I believe, where I was getting really annoyed with people sending me SoundCloud links and they had no music on streaming services. So I want to talk about the difference between a streaming service approach and people who spend a lot of time on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. You can have both of those things, and there's a really cool thing you can do with segmenting out what's available on your online, like what you have available online. So most of your stuff that you make should be on streaming platforms. You want to use DistroKid. An affiliate link is at musicadvice.io if you want 7% off your first year. $20 a year, it's amazing. You get all kinds of cool features and promo things that you get. It's really neat. But SoundCloud, people who make music, they're the only ones who use SoundCloud. The person next door to you doesn't use SoundCloud, I promise you. Unless you're in some sort of country that doesn't have any of these streaming services, which is kind of a rare thing. SoundCloud is not for people to discover music. It's for you to send your music to industry people in a very specific way. It's kind of like Dropbox. The way I see it is like Dropbox for musicians. So it has a purpose, and I don't want to go into it too much, but you would never want to spend all of your time and resources and effort. Hey, John, thanks for liking the stream. I appreciate that. You never want to spend all of your time and resources and stuff trying to promote something that people typically don't have on their phone. You know what I'm saying? So I really, really would recommend also looking at Bandcamp. There are some good resources on that too, but that's for buying things that are like digital downloads and stuff. Again, most people aren't going to go to your Bandcamp account. So I know a lot of musicians that I'm friends with that are, they use Bandcamp almost exclusively, and they probably have, there's no way they're making over $1,000 for the entire year. There's no way. But if they were to effectively do what I'm going to show you today, they easily could and have a lot more fans. And a lot more fans would go maybe to your, you know, to your website, buy your stuff, your merch, your tickets, all of that good stuff. So there are two different types of playlists. So this goes for not just Spotify. people always think Spotify because it's the biggest one. Yes, that's true. But a lot of people, myself included, have Apple Music. I have both. And then almost, it seems like every home has an Echo in it. And a lot of people will stream voice command, like, you know, I'm not going to say the word because it's going to set off somebody's Echo in here and also maybe yours. So, you know, they'll say like play, you know, party music or play sleep music, things like that. And it's how people consume music. So there's all kinds of different ways to access these playlists, and that happens to be one of them. So just because Spotify is the biggest one, don't discredit the other ones. YouTube also being a gigantic one, a lot of people watch YouTube, have it in the background, you know, playlists are super important on that too. Excuse me. So there are two different types. There's the curated type and there's the user-generated type. The curated type, just so we're aware, those are going to be the ones that people, let's use Spotify as an example. Spotify hires playlist curators. They pay them decent money, actually, to source all this music being submitted to them, build playlists to help, you know, music discovery and things like that. We'll go over how to get your music in front of those people today, which is really important. And those are really hard to get onto, I'll be honest with you, but it's free, it's easy to do, and you should be doing it. So the other type, user generated, that's like if you and I wanted to create a playlist, and that could go from maybe just you as a person creating a playlist for yourself, or let's say a weekend trip to another state, or there's people out there that are independent playlist curators. Those are user generated. They may ask you to pay for it. They may not. So those are a little dicey, and we'll talk about that too in just a second. So the next thing is I want everybody to go onto their, you know, their smart device, their phone, whatever, on their website. And I want you to keep these three things on your radar and download these apps to your phone. Here they are: Spotify for artists, Apple Music for artists, and the last one is Amazon Music for artists. Those are super important because that's going to give you a couple of things. Number one, if you go on the webpage for all of these and some of these for the app, this is the way that you would submit your music to these playlists. The curated ones, the ones that people are professionally, they're professional curators, quote unquote. They get jobs, they get paid a lot of money to find music like yours, and you have to make it easy for them to find it. That's the thing. There's so many people submitting music, and you'll see in just a minute, it's about ease of finding it. If you are making it hard for them with different things like metadata and stuff, they're never going to find your music. If you're not giving them a little extra help on maybe what playlist you'd like to be on, things like that, it's going to be hard. So you want to download those. The other thing that it gives you is it gives you analytics. Analytics are some of the most important things to your music career. And the reason is it helps you identify your audience. So obviously you're going to need to know your age range, people who, you know, typically enjoy your content, you know, the sex of the person, male, female, other things like that. It has all those breakdowns. And then it's got, you know, location. Location's really important too, especially as you get more advanced, because it tells you where your highest listener base is and maybe where you should be playing shows. Maybe where you should do different promotions, things like that, or advertise, which is super important. You need all of that information. So music success, one of the big pillars of this is going to be how you get and use data, not just stuff for yourself, but also where you find data elsewhere. And I'm going to show you all this stuff in just a second when I share my screen. But I want to talk about pay for play. So there are a few different ways to submit your music to these playlists. One of them is going to be a website. So things like SubmitHub, daily playlists, things like that, where it's a website meant to ingest music in order to submit it to playlist curators. They're like a third party, like a real estate agent for playlists, right? So then there's nothing wrong with using his services. In fact, I would deem them mostly safe. Okay. Dailyplaylist.com is free for the basic membership. You can get 25 weekly submissions. And I use this one every Monday. So every Monday, I submit my music to Playlist, which is great. And they reset it weekly, which if you're smart, you can maximize your release schedule for the music that you're making and really utilize that. So let's say that you're making music, and you'll see why this is really important later, but so connect this, like write this down, or it's in my book if you want to check that out. You're better off releasing singles than you are making an EP or an album. And I know I personally like albums, but I think the industry has spoken and we're in a playlist era. So we don't really have an option. No matter how much you love albums and no matter how much you want other people to love your albums, 99.9% of people who would like your music don't want to listen to your entire album. They want to listen to songs. So with that being said, get over it. No one wants to listen to an album right now. They want to listen to playlists and they want you to be on it if they like your music. So it's really important that you do that. I would say the next thing is that there are, you know, if you go on to Spotify, go on to other platforms and you look at the description of maybe some playlists that you like, then it would be wise of you to look at the description. A lot of the times the description is going to have contact info. So there's that. The other way is, you know, taking that contact info, it's usually social media most of the time. And you're going to want to connect with those people and you can message them your music. So you could say, hey, cool, here's my link. I really like your playlist. I think it'd make a great addition. It kind of sounds like this and that. Let me know what you think and I really appreciate your time. That easy, super simple. Don't say too much because people won't read it. Too long didn't read, right? So then from there, the next thing is, this is the biggest one, email campaigns. So email campaigns for your music and getting on a playlist are the most important thing that you can do. Why? Well, first of all, most people that have these professional playlists that are, they're like, you know, they're user generated, but they're professional playlists. Maybe they make money off of it. Maybe they don't. Or maybe they're artists like you and me who decide, you know what, I have a good in through playlisting in order to get my music heard. So for example, if I take playlist submissions and I put a quarter of it's my music and I take other music that sounds like my music and I label it the genre and throw it on Spotify, that's not really a bad idea. And I'd encourage you to do that too, playlisting on your own. So, and you can make playlists on your Spotify for Artists app, which is really cool. And if you're a patron, we can go on our weekly Zoom today at 5 p.m. Central if you're a patron. If you're not a patron and you'd like to join that, it's not too late. Patreon.com/Blake Makes Music. And we do a weekly Zoom for like half an hour. We can kind of get a little bit more in depth. You can ask me questions, all that good stuff. So SubmitHub is fine. It is expensive. And I personally have heard, I haven't had any bad experiences, but I've heard of a lot of people who have. So the bad experiences are one of two things. Either people that are actively taking money in order to just make money and not really care and write kind of a generic review on the song and kick it back. And now they take your, you know, $1 to $3 or whatever much it costs. And the other thing is that it's something you have to be very careful of. People who will take your songs and put them on a playlist that has a bunch of devices or bots streaming the music. That is a terrible thing because your music will get taken down. The song will get taken down. You will not be able to re-upload it. And it kind of tarnishes your reputation as an artist. And the amount of money that you're going to be making doesn't make sense. Like, for your music to be taken down off Spotify is such a big deal, because imagine, like, even if you're just starting out, let's say you've got 10 people who really care about your music. imagine what you would do to the relationship of those 10 people, because it's all about relationships. If one of your tracks or all of your album, if you're still releasing albums, just was removed off Spotify because you made a bad, quote unquote, promotion decision. So you have to be careful of those things. Validate the playlist that you're submitting to. If you see an absurd amount of monthly listeners and likes and stuff, then be weary, okay? If you're in the 100,000s, maybe, but really it's, you know, it's common for those to see playlists and artists that have hundreds of thousands of listens. It's very common that aren't famous and are doing really well doing the things we're talking about today. But if you see millions, that's probably a bad thing. And also you can go on to different websites like Chartmetric, look at the playlist and see if it's consistently getting plays or if it's bumping up and down like this, like a zigzag. If it's doing a zigzag on, like, you know, tens of thousands up and down, and it's got 30,000, people who listen to the playlist, that's probably a bot account. Don't ever submit your music to a bot account playlist. If you get, let's say, DM'd on Instagram, anything like that, and someone's saying, hey, I'll use, you know, Spotify promotion for you, you're going to get 1,000 plays for X amount of dollars, don't be stupid. That's one, it could be a scam, and two, if it's not a scam, it's definitely a bot farm. And that's how they make money. And you can risk your music getting taken down. It's so dumb. So please don't do it. The other thing is there are lots of music submission, like micro companies or just companies in general, that will take your submissions for free or have an extended premium submission service through a Patreon type service. Like a big one is Indie Mono. That's a legit playlisting service. It's very cheap. It's like $3 a month last time I checked. Indie Mono. Here, I'll pull up the website while I'm talking. Indie Mono. Cool. So Indie Mono, you could submit free music here, as you can see, but then you've got the ability to check out the playlist here. And I would recommend checking them out. They're actually pretty neat. You can see they got a whole bunch. They run their entire business off of this. And if you go to their Patreon, you can also release music with them, which is pretty neat. But they're on Patreon. They have quite a bit of people subscribing to them. And, you know, you pay a little bit and you don't get promised that you're going to get on a playlist from them. But, you know, you can choose what genre you would like to submit to. So submit free music. You know, your chances are low because there's a lot of people that do this. Or you can go to the Patreon and submit music that way. Now, that's one way to do it. If you want to spend money, that's totally cool. I think you should be able to spend money on, if there's value to it, go for it. I think that's super important. Now, here's another, and I think the most important type of playlisting. Like we were talking about a second ago, email. Okay. So, for my patrons, I did release an email template for submitting music to playlists. I highly recommend you check it out. It's on there. I submitted it a couple days ago, so you should be able to see it. And the next thing I want to talk about is there's a lot of people out there that sell raw contact data for playlists and people in the music industry, all kinds of stuff. And you can find some of it for free, but not very good information for free. As part of the Patreon, music club is what I'm calling it, for my patrons. I have a bunch of curated contact info for playlists. So it's an addition to, basically it's a thank you support to the book if you're part of that. So if you're not part of the Patreon team, the group, then I would highly recommend that you check it out just to see what's available. There's a big laundry list of services there and things and products and all kinds of stuff that I think are worth it. And I would personally, I made this based off of what I would like if I was subscribing to somebody giving me career advice. So I'd appreciate just a browse. Okay, cool. And if there's things that you think I should add to it, hit me up. Let me know. Hit me up on Instagram or something, or Twitter, whatever you want to do, your preference. So what I want to talk about with the email, people can find all of these emails. You can pay monthly or like a big chunk of money at once to get all of this information. And it's time consuming. It can be time consuming, but if you plan this out right, it can work out really well. One of the things at musicadvice.io, you'll see disco.ac. So let me lay out for you the beginning, middle, and the end for how this is going to look. And then I'll go into it. I think it's super important that you really think about what you're about to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the perks that I have available on my Patreon, where it's got contact information. It's basically a gigantic spreadsheet full of playlists with genres, all that stuff. The one that we're going to see is through Spotify. And I have other ones that I'm constantly up every week. I'm, you know, updating with a new genre, a new platform. So an Apple Music one, a Spotify one, and a YouTube one based on genre. So what you do is you want to get the name, the playlist name. So the name of the person and the playlist name, or the company, it could be a company, their email address, and you want to get that information and you want to put it into an email client. So an email client, there's one built into disco.ac, which is really good. And they don't charge you per contact and they don't charge you per email. You're paying $10, $15, or $30 a month, depending on what service that you're using through Disco. And it's basically an unlimited email client because you're already paying for it. It has other benefits. It's really for soliciting music to music supervisors, but I use it for playlists and radio and all kinds of stuff. The next thing is that you could also use MailChimp, which is good. You can have up to 2,000 contacts, and they charge per contacts. So MailChimp is good if you have a lower amount of contacts and you still want to use it for free. The other option is SendinBlue. So they charge per email volume, but they, and I use this myself on marketing for the show and also for my music in different ways. And you get 300 emails a day, but unlimited contacts. So if you're smart about how you organized your, how you have organized your, basically your contact list, then you can be really nifty about how you break down all the different types of playlists based on genre and what you're trying to accomplish. So without further ado, let's take a look at the screen here. And let's talk about what this looks like on the inside. I think this is super important. So let's go to desktop view, and you can see my notes here for the show, which is pretty cool, a little preview. So if you're on my Patreon here, this is one of the perks. So Spotify playlist. So I made an Airtable here. You can sort by genre, all kinds of stuff, follower count. But if you go here, you can look at the website, submission guidelines, how they submit through email or not, or website, and then the contact information here. Now, there's tons of contacts. There's so many contacts here. So what you can do is you can sort by genre. You could say filter by this field, genre is, let's just say we want to do hip hop. Okay, so just hip hop, because there's different types of hip hop on this. So you can also add a condition where it's or genre is hip hop beats. You can keep going. You can get as very specific as you want. Give me all of the ones that have this or that hip hop R&B. You can see the list keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you're going to have all of these different playlists here just through Spotify. So now what you want to do, and this is what I have, and I'm going to move to Disco now. So I've got Disco here, and Disco is what I was talking about with, they basically are, it's a platform in order to share, solicit music to music supervisors. But you see here, you can import the list that I showed you into your contacts here. So add new contact, add a single contact, or you could do a list. The list would be through an Excel sheet and you save it as a CSV file through Excel, or you could do it in Google Sheets and it'll tell you exactly how to do it. So it'll be like name, company, which would be the playlist in this case. You use it for that. And then tags are really important. So tags, as you could see over here, tags will show, I've written my own tags. I've imported my own tags based on genre and off of type. So for example, you saw a writer down there. There's radio promoters, radio show, label blog, the whole category of things. And you can choose how to import that. The location, so I would say country, company, I would say, cool, there's my email if you want to email me, or you can use my professional email, which is blake@blakemakesmusic.com. So you enter their phone number, their email, and all that good stuff, and you go into your giant pool of contacts. It's your Rolodex. And the tag is super important because you can filter as you start pulling up contacts to send them an email. You could say, give me all the people, and I'll show you, that are, let's do radio. Oop, let's spell it right. Radio that do indie. So comma indie. And so now you've got how many people? 1,039 people. So you can email 1,039 people that have radio stations that play indie music. You could do the same thing with, let's do rock. So 1,053. So you'll import all of this stuff in here, and it's really important. Now it's time consuming, but it's worth it because you're going to spend a lot of time importing these contacts. But when you start executing these emails, and you don't have to do 1,000 at a time, like that's crazy. Like it'll take you months, and that's what I did. But I did it as a way to help you guys. So you guys can check this out and use my organization in order to help yourself. But so you could do, let's say 10, go find yourself 10 playlists that are indie playlists or hip hop playlists or whatever kind of music that you make, put them into your contact list. And again, I recommend Disco. It is a little pricey, but it's definitely pays off in the features and the kinds of results you could get if you're doing it right. And then you send them an email, and what you put in that email, and I'll go over here and I'm not going to show you the template because that's a paywall. That's the Patreon. I'm trying to, you know, not going to lie. Most of the stuff I do is free, like over 90%, but the stuff on the Patreon is sacred. So we would have the template there. And long story short, it basically, in a more formal, cool way, says, hey, how's it going? I'm going to say my stuff. My name is Blake. I'm the artist. Blake Makes Music, whatever. I just released the single, blah, blah, blah. I thought that it would fit well into your playlist. And this is where you would put in on your Disco contact where it says company. So if it's radio, then you would say on your radio station, and you would insert where, like, there's like a drag and drop feature where you can say the contact, say you want the email to say the contact's name or company, what have you, add personalization to it. So I'll give you an example. When you get an email from me on my from my email on I use SendinBlue for the people that I talk to for the show, and I use Disco for sending out music, because it's got two different purposes basically. And I will say, hey, and then it'll say, like, in brackets, first name, but your name is John. So it'll say, hey, John, as opposed to, hey, first name, or hey, you, or whoever. So that's super important. I would say the company is going to be the playlist name as you start importing these contacts into your email client. This is Disco, but like I said, you can use SendinBlue, you can use MailChimp. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Some are free, some have different price brackets, all kinds of stuff. So that's what you do. And then you'll email these contacts at one time. So if I wanted to do indie rock radio promo, I would have all of these contacts here. I'd send on 1,000 emails for people who take music submissions. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that you send your a hyperlink that contains all of your links to your music. Now, if you use DistroKid, that is, and I should have logged into DistroKid to do this, but I'm not going to have time to do this on the show, unfortunately. But a hyperfollow through DistroKid, that's what you would send for that single, and you would have all the links to where it's available. So that way, if it's at a Spotify playlist, it's a YouTube playlist, or if it's a, you know, Apple Music playlist. Excuse me. I told you I needed more coffee today, but I'm trying to lay back on it. You'll do all of that at once, and they can choose whatever playlist that they want to use, put it on. And some people have more than one. So maybe they go, you know what? This fits better on my Apple Music playlist, but not so much on my Spotify one. Cool. But they have a choice. So you send them the link. You can send them a photo of the music too, embed it into the email, and then all of that good stuff. Now, all of this stuff is public information. So I'm not doing any sort of like doxing or anything like that. It's all on websites, but it's all curated. So these are people that take music. So please use it responsibly. It's super important that you try to take people's time and consideration into your consideration, because you don't want to be annoying. If you're annoying, they're going to, you know, basically blacklist you, and you're never ever going to be able to send the music ever again. Now, email etiquette. If you come off stupid in your email, they're never going to read it. Please use proper grammar. Have someone check it. If you can't spell, if you don't know the difference between they, there, there, and there, for example, please have someone help you. The minute you send a bad email, and a lot of people for some reason can't send a professional email, like they didn't ever go through English class or something for up till at least 12th grade, you're going to have a really hard time making professional connections. These people are not your friends. They're not your buddies. You don't want to send a bunch of emojis and stuff. You don't, your text etiquette and your email etiquette is not the same thing. Now, a lot of people are rolling their eyes right now that are like, of course, duh. And there's two other type of people that either don't know this information or don't take it seriously enough. And then there's people who have received emails that are poorly written, and they're so annoying because it doesn't matter how good the music is or how great the playlist may be, a match for that song, you're never going to get on that playlist if you make a bad impression. So impressions are always the number one thing when you're soliciting out things. Always. So never, ever make yourself seem stupid when you're reaching out to somebody new. Please. And it might make me look bad too, so please don't do it. If you're a Patreon now or in the future and you want some help on how to do emails, you can ask me in our weekly meeting. Now, when we get to 600 Patreon subscribers, I will be doing this every day, Monday through Friday. Same thing with the private meetings and groups. So maybe in the future, someone listens to this later, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, they get this information for the first time. In the future, that's always a possibility, okay? So the other thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about timing. So here's what you need for your email submission. You need a release schedule. Now, if you recall, I said earlier about going to daily playlist. They do like a weekly free, you get 3 submissions a week. Sorry, 25 submissions a week. You get free ones. So imagine if you had a single come out every single week. Oh my God. It's almost like the internet's made for this. And it is. So you should be making content every single day. If you're following me on Instagram, you can see I've basically got a new musician tip every single day, something different. Some of these are pretty cool. Some of these are facts. Some of these are, you know, me being grouchy saying like, yes, yeah, rah, you know. but they're fun. They could be funny, you know, or informative. You need to make content every day because imagine if every Friday you had a new song come out, right? You had a new song come out on all streaming platforms and you would have something brand new to talk about to your audience and, you know, every single week, something new and fresh. It's always on your toes. That is how you maintain an audience. If you're doing that and you really stay consistent and you map it out the way that you should, you'll be doing amazing things. Now, you're probably like, oh my God, how in the world do I release 52 songs? It takes me days to make a song. Well, you don't do it like that. You stack the content. So stacking content is, and I say this, I've said this before, but I think it's important people get this. You write all of the music first, or you put it, you make it your, however you write music. I will do demos. Some people don't do demos. That's fine. If you do electronic music, you can't really, it's hard to write, make demos when you're doing pre-production. So just make the songs. Don't release any of it. Let it sit in a folder. And then you need to submit it at once. Queue it up. You don't have to send an email right now. You can literally do all the work up front and let it go like a system. For example, you could spend a week sending out, once you have the songs, you know, queued up in DistroKid, you know, you need the second tier accounts, like $35-$36 a year for unlimited music. You get two accounts and you can choose your release date. So you can literally have 52 songs. You pick them out. You're like, I'm going to release them in this order on these dates. Queue them up, slot them out for the calendar. I would say Fridays are probably the best, in my opinion. And then you can draft up your emails for every single week. You're going to have all of those emails scheduled where you don't have to do anything. It's just going to submit right away. It's going to be great. And people are going to have new playlists and all kinds of stuff. So there are even more opportunities for that curator to put you on, which is amazing. Now, I say that too because going back to when I was saying those curated playlists through Spotify for artists, Apple Music for artists, all that kind of stuff, you need to have your playlist. You need to think about like making it easy for them to find you, like I was talking about. But really, it's important because you need time for that music to process, and you need time for them to listen to your music, and then you need time for them to put it on the playlist. And they have thousands upon thousands a day that they have to get through. So if your music is in line to be distributed, and that Spotify curator has at least 2 weeks to get, once they get it, in order to put on the playlist, you're more likely to get on a playlist from those curators that get paid to do this. So don't put your music out and go, it's going to release ASAP. Please map it out. I would say at least a month. I would say 4 to 6 weeks is probably a good idea from when you upload it through DistroKid. That's my opinion. I know the curators need at least a week. I know for a fact because they won't let you submit unless you have a week span between the acceptance into Spotify, not the release, but the acceptance into Spotify and then the release date, because it sits in limbo before it gets released. So please keep that into your strategy. The other thing, like I was saying, other than your release schedule, is you're going to need an email client. I use Disco and SendinBlue. You can use whatever you want. They all do the same thing. The next thing you're going to need are going to be contacts, okay? You need those contacts. I have them available for you on the Patreon, but you can find them elsewhere. You can pay money for them, or you can get me once a week. For now, it's at least once a week, helping you out on a personal level. And you can get, you know, a little bit, you can ask me better questions if you're a Patreon member. The next thing you're going to need are those email templates, which we talked about earlier. You're going to need photos, which is super important because that's part of your marketing plan. You can always stack the photos too for your social media, but you're going to need to take good press photos for email campaigns, things like that, professional stuff. And then you're going to need links to your songs through the Hyperfollow through DistroKid. So that'll give them the option to connect with you in any kind of way that they want. What makes the Disco special is that if it's a YouTube channel, they may need to download it. Now you're asking yourself, how do they not just steal my music? Well, first of all, they can't legally steal it. They will illegally steal it because once it's gone through the process and it's released, it's copyright. You own the copyright if you're in the United States. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice, but I'm telling you this is how it is, okay? If you don't believe me, talk to a lawyer. And then if it's in limbo, you don't want to send these in limbo tracks anyways to any of these playlisters. Because if it's like sitting in queue and it's not released yet and they can't listen to it, that's one. But two, they're going to forget about you. So the hyperfollow thing for stuff that is not released yet, in my opinion, it's not very effective. It's effective for your fan base, for email templates and stuff. Emails to your email updates to your fans so they can go, hey, this song's coming out. Save it on your Spotify playlist and you can listen to it right away. Great. You have to market your music, and it can't be you sending random people DMs. That's so stupid. That's such a waste of time. You need to collect data. Data is the most important thing. It is the queen on your chessboard. It's the queen. It has all the moves. Without the queen, you can't win the game. It's nearly impossible. It's very difficult. You need data. You need contact info. You need to learn how to use the data. And you could do all of this on your own if you can manage your time. I'm not saying you have to have all the time in the world, but you need to know how to manage the time that you do have. If you can't support the admin of releasing 52 songs in a year, do not release 52 songs in a year. Release 10, release 12, one a month. That's fine too. Or if you can't do that because you're like me, and you got a full-time job, a podcast, a wife, a daughter, another daughter on the way, you got a dog, you got to travel between, you know, your home, and I get it. I get 2 days. I do this for a couple hours. I have time with my family. I make music when I can, but I don't release music until I have a batch of things queued up. So, the last thing you're going to need to protect yourself, just in case, and also to help you get on more playlists, is you're going to need clean metadata. Now, if you're listening on the podcast, this is where you're going to want to maybe come back again. If you're not watching this, because I'm going to show you what metadata is, why it's important, and why it really can shoot you in the foot if you don't have it. Okay, so this is really important. A lot of people ask, what is metadata? What are you talking about? Okay, I'm going to pull up my screen real quick. Before I go there, okay, cool. All right. So this is my, this is going to be my disco library. So this is just a portion of the music that I've got. So what you do is you upload the music, your WAV files into Disco, and you will be able to create playlists and send it out. That's basically how it is. You send people playlists. You can choose for them to download or not download it, have a watermark digitally on it or not. Okay? But let's go to one of my albums. My computer won't shut up. So this is an EP. I will not be doing EPs or albums anymore. It will all be singles. But let's go with the Blake Meeks Music theme song. Let's go with one that's not on the podcast. Kanye West is a genius. You'll see a little cloud player here. If you click the I, go to full track info. This is metadata. This is why it's important. Now, what I'll say is that you've got your title, the artist, the album, the composer, the grouping, the genre, all that stuff is super important. Now, this other stuff is extremely important too. Your ISRC, which you can get after you release it through DistroKid, it's approved in DistroKid, it will assign you an ISRC. That is basically your UPC, your digital UPC for the song, so you can keep track with Billboard, things like that. You have to have one. And you also need that for submitting it to performance rights organizations. It's recommended. You don't need it, but it's recommended. And you need that 100% for putting it on SoundExchange. Comments, there's a UPC to the album, my ASCAP IPI number, my contact info for the publisher. okay, for the publisher. Lyrics, you add the lyrics here. The writers, right here. PRO number. Tags, okay? So this is where you can add track tags, and you can check off all of this stuff here. So for example, if I have an instrument here, I'm going to want to say that it's definitely got a piano, and it's got bass and drums. Where is it? There we go. And the lyric themes are, let's see. The lyric themes are super important, okay? Because this is really important when you start talking about what kind of playlist it's going to go under. But most importantly, when you solicit this to film and television opportunities. So Kanye West is a Genius is about, let's see. This is it's a comedy track, guys. So it's kind of hard to say, but I'm going to see what they have. But you can also make your own in disco, but we'll say power, I guess, maybe. Mood and feel, catchy. It's also chill. The tempo is mid-tempo, slow. And the type, focus track, easy clear, one stop. We'll go over all these music license things later, but you can do all of this stuff. Vocals, you can choose all these different things. It is a male vocal. This is actually a text-to-speech song, like my intro. This EP is, that's basically what it is. So now you've got all your track info here. You could do custom stuff on the pro model. It's not needed, but it's, you know, you can if you want the pro plan, which is a little expensive in my opinion, than any sort of notes, which basically is if a music supervisor sends it. So metadata, all that kind of stuff. Awesome. So why do you need all that? Well, first of all, the copyright and all that information is all in here. Someone would have to go into a program. They would have to erase all of this stuff. And basically, they would have to override it. And if you didn't know about this, you can almost guarantee that someone who is dumb enough to steal a track probably wouldn't know about this too. Most likely. A lot of them do, though. So the other thing is that, one, it's good for you to find your tracks this way, because if once you get to a point where you're releasing a lot of music, you may want to go, okay, cool, let me submit a promo campaign. I need all of my music that has this genre, or that is releasing this year, or this beats per minute, all of that good stuff. But the most important thing is that when you submit to music supervisors and music libraries, this is literally the drop-down menu that they would search from. So they don't search like, hey, yo, what is Joe Schmo's track? Search. They go, I need a song that is in the key of A. Maybe they'll say the key. Beats per minute, the range, maybe. What kind of instruments? What's the lyric theme? Let me search lyrics that have the word I love you in it. Maybe that's a theme for an ad campaign. Or maybe the word mountain. Maybe it could be all kinds of stuff. But they're getting very, very specific details that they need for you to be able to get that track into that person's hand, and that search bar and those drop downs that we just looked at are super important. Now, if you are, again, listening and you're not watching, just recognize the timestamp. Just go back and look and see where it's at. If you would like to use disco on your own music, I do have that affiliate link. It'll help out the show a bunch. At least check it out. I would really appreciate it. And what you want to do is you want to set it up, and then you can always upgrade your plan. Now, once we get to 10 Patreon subscribers, I will have a music library for my patrons. That is a promise. So if you want to help the show out at all and you're thinking about doing the Patreon, once we get to 10, that music library is turned on. I'm paying for the subscription. Your music can be in that music library, and I will help you solicit your music out if you're a patron, which I think is amazing once we get to 10. So that's going to be really cool because I'll have enough music to put in there and it covers the cost, which is great. So because every little module that you add on Disco, once you get past the basic stuff, does cost money. The music library one is like $40 a month. It gives you some other things too, like you know, your auto tagger, things like that. But here's the thing. Make sure this is clear too, because I don't want to have people come back at me later. If you're going to send me tracks for the music library, I need you to also have a Disco account. That's the caveat, because I need you to fill out your metadata, not me. And this is the same thing. I'm not going to sit here because it takes a few minutes to do one track. I, just like any other music supervisor or any other platform or what have you, they're not going to waste their own time doing the things that you should have done. Now, you can have other programs, like there's a program called Tag Editor, which I also use for metadata. That's cool too. But Disco's got it all built in. So with that being said, that kind of leaves us where we're at for the show. I'm going to run a quick commercial break and come back. And then we're going to do a Q&A. If anyone has got any questions or anything like that, feel free to ask them. So here we go. That if you listen to the Blake Makes Music podcast on Spotify, premium user on Spotify, you get to hear the entire song. Either way, you'll hear me discuss the track and give you some shout outs. Artists whose entire track is listened to by a premium Spotify user get paid just like regular music streams. Pretty cool, huh? Check the podcast out on Spotify. If you want to submit your track to be reviewed, check out musicadvice.io. Okay, cool. So that was my first technical difficulty. That was pretty interesting. All my stuff runs on external hard drive and it went to sleep. Sorry about that. But here's the thing. This is part of the show. If you're watching, if you do have a question, you just want to say what's up, go ahead and put it in the chat. I will happily answer anything that I can for you guys or girls. I want to make sure that everybody can kind of get their question in. If you don't have questions, that's cool. But go ahead and type them in now. While people are typing them in, and also there's a delay between me and what you're watching, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I'm going to be doing with the show soon. So I have three phases for now with the show, where I'm going to be transitioning out of just this format where I am talking to myself into a conversation with one selected person per show. So I want to get through all of the stuff that I've got planned. I've got all kinds of information that I could share. But we're going to have guests on the show soon. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to be going. I'm trying to make sure I can create a very high level quality production. So I don't want anything to slow down my computer. Therefore, you guys get a big issue when you're watching this later. So I'm working on a couple things there. I'm expecting to do my first show like that in April. I've got some people that would like to be on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and say that out loud. The other thing I'm going to be doing is I will be doing music reviews, but I will not be doing music reviews on the Facebook live stream because of copyright issues. So that'll be on YouTube and that will be on Twitch. I will not be doing this on Facebook because the episode gets muted and it's really hard to get it cleared for other people's tracks. So the other thing I'm going to be doing, which is really, really cool, I'm going to be doing random music reviews. We're basically going to hit the shuffle button on a few playlists and we're going to do a review on these random tracks. We're going to be forced to listen to them no matter what. And we're going to have blind cold reactions, which is going to be pretty cool. And I'm going to be doing eventually, that's phase two, April, maybe May at the latest. Phase three, that'll be once I get into my my house, which is currently being rented out because we had a crazy move and stuff. So long story, anyways, I'll be moving to my new place in September. You know, the show will have a completely different look. In between these phases, though, I will be taking a Saturday or two off. But I might be able to record these and not do them live and just offer some extra content for people, because I think it's super important you keep consistent. So I'll be stacking my own content likely to fill those gaps. We'll just not have a live show, and I'll make sure that everybody understands when they're watching. So anyways, that'll be happening in September. Now, when that happens, this whole situation is going to be different. All right. So it's going to be a totally different thing. We're going to have in-person guests, which I'm super excited about. That means we get an extra mic and all kinds of stuff. We're going to eventually have music performances by other people. I know this is going to be quite a show. And we're going to have music reactions between me and, if we got a guest on, the guest too. So that's going to be super cool. So I'd like to do stuff in person if we can. This is just fingers crossed. COVID is, at the time being, where I'm at least, has been weaning down a lot, and it's been a lot easier to have these in-person things. So that's amazing. I'm super, super happy about that for a number of different reasons. And it's just, it's good. It's a good thing. So the show's going to get really cool. Now, how can it get cooler? Honestly, just by the support that, if you're watching this now, continue to watch. Interact with me, please. I love talking to people. I could talk to people all day. You can go to my Instagram, Blake Makes Music. You can go to my website, blakemakesmusic.com. Or you can go to my site, musicadvice.io, for all my affiliate links. So since no one's got a question, we're going to cut the podcast. I do have that live stream today at 5 p.m. Central Time with the patrons if they do want to join. We got big things planned, and I'm super excited. This show is not going to look the same. I am super, super excited to show you all what we have in store. I cannot wait. It's amazing. So thank you, everybody. I hope you all have a great, great weekend. There we go. Got our numbers up right there. I'm at 139 on YouTube subscribers. Thank you, everybody, so much. The goal is 200. So these are all the new follows and stuff. And I really appreciate each and every one of you, whether you're a patron or just a casual listener, or you participate in the show whatsoever. I hope all of you have a great day. Make music every day. Thank you.